Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and it's here on your bulletin. I would definitely like for you to have your own Bible open, a Bible app or a paper Bible, as I will be referring to other parts of chapter 11, which we could not put into the bulletin today. So we're going to read our passage today, but once more I'll be referring to some other parts. So definitely have your own Bible. And for the first time visitors and for the visitor from Indonesia, I think, yeah, would like to welcome you to our church. I hope you feel welcome and warm, and you feel the love of God as you come. Okay, would like to read John chapter 11, verse 45 to 53. I'll begin from verse 45. Please join me at verse 49. Before I begin, this is the very famous passage in the Bible where Jesus has resurrected a man named Lazarus from the dead. I'll speak more about it after we read, but this, what we're about to read, happens immediately after he has resurrected Lazarus, his friend, from the dead. And this is what happened. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is this man performing many signs. And if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. Let's read together, verse 49. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. The very words of God. Amen. Just a big picture overview, real quick. This year, Pastor Hiroshi's messages of this year are based around the theme of Shinyak Seisho, Nyumo, the introduction to the New Testament. And so I'm going to follow that pattern by preaching through the New Testament this year. Pastor Hiroshi will take a very systematic approach to the preaching. He'll divide the New Testament into categories. So recently he's been preaching on the church and what is the church in the New Testament. And then he'll preach on salvation and he'll preach on various aspects or categories that you find through the New Testament. I, on the other hand, will take a different approach to preaching the New Testament. Whereas Pastor Hiroshi will be more systematic and categorical, he'll deal with the categories of the teachings. In the English service, we're going to look at the narrative, the story, or the flow of the New Testament. And so what we've done in this service is we've begun in the Gospels, because that's how the New Testament begins. So in January, we covered Mark, and we gave two very important passages from Mark. And then Pastor Kevin picked it up, preaching very important passages through Matthew and the kingdom of God. Mark was displaying who the Messiah was, and Matthew was displaying the kingdom of God. And so last week we began to teach three messages on the book of John. So what are the three most important places in the book of John? So last week we looked at John chapter 1, and we saw that John, in the beginning of his book, the story of Jesus, he gave seven names or seven titles, seven positions or seven roles, yakuwari, of Jesus, right? Son of man, son of God, rabbi, Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Finally, he was the Lamb of God. And also, he was the King of Israel. So, these seven titles of Jesus in the first chapter of John, and John is going to demonstrate through the rest of the book of the Gospel of John, those seven titles of Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of Joseph, Rabbi, Lamb of God, and King. So you have all this kind of big, broad picture of Jesus. And we have these seven titles, but there was one name for Jesus, one title or role for Jesus that he didn't cover in the first kind of profile page of the first chapter. And it's also a very important and pivotal part of who Jesus is. And that's in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we don't have time to preach the whole chapter. But it is the chapter where the whole story of John changes. It's the hinge or the pivot where Jesus is going from this obscure carpenter, teacher, rabbi, healer, and then it changes, and he's going to become murdered on the cross. Well, where is that happening? It's in this story. And the title for who Jesus is not King, not Son of God, not Rabbi, not Messiah. The title for this chapter is Jesus the Friend. Jesus the Friend. Listen, this is it. This is all I want to give you this afternoon. All I want to give you this afternoon is the love of God for you. The gospel is good news because it is news about God's amazing love for every one of us. Love is good news, and we need this love. Now, not all love is good news. There's some love, you know, some people say, I love you, and it's kind of like, yeah, of course. And then there's some love that's like, oh, yeah, you love, wow. Pastor Chris, what are you talking about? I'll give you an example. My sons, every night when they go to bed, they say, Daddy, Mommy, can you pray for me, you know, to go to bed? And then we'll pray. And then before they go to bed, they're going upstairs. They'll say, good night. And I say, good night. Love you. Love you. And then we'll kind of do kiss, kiss. And that's our bedtime routine. Good night. Love you. Kiss, kiss. Now, you know, when my sons say, I love you, it's like, yeah, I know. You're my sons, right? It's not news. Or yesterday, we celebrated my fourth son's birthday. He's 2 years old. And also my father's birthday in California. So we called my mom and my dad in California. You've met them here this summer. We say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad. They're saying, hey, Grandma. And, you know, it's this typical conversation, long distance. Love you, miss you, when are you coming, blah, 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 right? And it's not, my mom and dad were like, oh, you love me? Really? It's not news, right? It's just, yeah, I love you. We love you, love, love, love. There's love everywhere. It's not news. So when is love good news? Love is good news when someone who doesn't have to love you chooses to love you. Someone who you kind of fancy or you think is nice, you think they would be good to know or they're a good friend, and or maybe you have feelings for them. And they say, I love you, right? And it's just like, whoop. Right to your heart. Ooh, it's good news. They don't have to, they're not family. They're not required to love you. But it's their choice. But there is a deeper love than that. I have to talk about my wife. I apologize. But my wife, we've been married 10 years, okay? When we say I love you to each other, it's not like the same I love you 10 years ago. Because after 10 years of marriage, she has pretty much seen the worst of me. For the first, you know, few years we were dating, before we were married, she saw the best of me, right? I put forward my best face, you know, all that kind of stuff. I tried to be as lovable, and so she loved me and I loved her, that dating kind of love. And then we had the marriage and the ceremony and the wedding and, you know, the honeymoon, and then when the honeymoon was over, the honeymoon was over, right? And man, you know, we wake up next to each other, we got the breath, the face, the bleh, bleh, right? And then there's the fighting and the, you know, ding, 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 and we're slugging it out, you know, just back and forth. And yeah, she has, see, you think Pastor Chris, nice guy, knows his Bible, prays for me, really good person. I have fooled you a lot to think that I'm a nice person. Now, homie, she's not fooling, you know. I don't fool her. She knows. But here's the thing. Even after all those years of fighting, of irritating, of just pretty much hating, right? When she says, I love you, right? Oh, it's very, 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 that's good news. She doesn't have to. Well, she kind of has to because she married me. But there's a different meaning for that love than 10 years ago. There's a depth. There's a power. And that's the kind of love that will change a person. That's the kind of love that will transform. But there is an even greater love than that. That is the love of a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That is the love of God who became a friend of me. And that's the story of John chapter 11. That is the story I want to give you today. So let's go to the story. We read the end of John chapter 11. That was kind of just the result. What happened in John chapter 11? Well, if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to look in your Bible app or in your paper Bible. And in John chapter 11, verse 1, it says, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and his sister Martha. And then verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Do we have that slide? John 11? Okay, that starts from verse 5. Excuse me. You need to go to verse 3. The sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. That word love in verse 3, that's one of four words in the Greek for love. That's not the word agape, which many people understand is God's love. This word love in verse 3 is the word phileo, okay? And phileo is the Greek word for brotherly love. This is the love that best friends have. If you have a best friend, if you have a friend that is closer than a brother, if you have a friend who will, you can call at any time of the night, if you have a friend who will go through hell and high water to help you, that's phileo love. That's a special, beautiful, that's the kind of love God wants for us, because here is Jesus. And they're saying, that friend whom you phileo love is sick. Are you catching the meaning there? Jesus was not just some rabbi or teacher, and he had his students, and he had this love that was a kind of, you know, divine and fatherly love for, no, he had friends that he loved on a level of friendship. And so verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And now we pick up in verse 5. I think we have it here, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. There's the word love again. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days and then said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you. And yet you are going back? So, what's happening? The first part of that. Jesus says, you know what? I love them, so let's wait. Lazarus is sick. And Jesus says, I love them, so I'm going to wait for Lazarus to die. Huh? If you love me, Jesus, you'll come right away. No, this is a different kind of death. There's something I'm doing here. Let me just say something real quick here. This is not part of the sermon particularly, but I think some of it, maybe you need to hear this. You might be suffering some kind of sickness, illness, hurt, trouble. And maybe you're saying to Jesus, I thought you loved me. Why am I going through this? You love Lazarus, and it says you loved him, so you let him die. Why are you letting me die? And it could be that maybe Jesus is doing something through your suffering, your difficulty and trouble, that will bring him more glory. Jesus says, you want to follow me? Yeah, come follow me. But deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Translation, get ready to die. And follow me. That's just on the side there. Let's get back to the story. So we're in John chapter 11. In John chapter 10, what happened was Jesus says, I am. And basically saying, I am one with God. I am God. And so the leaders of the Jewish people in Jerusalem, they wanted to throw stones at him to kill him because he claimed he was God. And he slipped away. It wasn't his time. So his disciples knew, we're going to stay away from that hot spot. Stay away. There's danger there. So here's what happened. This, you have to get this. You must get this. So Jesus is out in the Inaka, countryside. And his friend in Bethany, near Jerusalem, is sick. His friend is sick. And so Jesus now, he hears he's sick. He can help him. He's a healer. He has power. But Jesus knows, if I go here to help Lazarus, if I heal him and raise him back to life, the leaders in Jerusalem are going to begin to plot to murder me. He knows this. Can you see it there? He knows it. And not only he knows it, his disciples know it. And so they say, Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back? And Jesus answers, after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. Jesus knew. He wasn't going to risk his life by helping Lazarus. He was going to go at the cost of his life to help Lazarus. That is where the story changes. He went there not to help his friend have new life. He went there to lay down his own life for his friend. Do you catch that? Do you catch that? That's the whole story. Jesus laid down his own life for his friend. That's the love of a friend. That is the great love of God who is a friend. There's the song we sing. We sang it last week. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king, right? You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the heavens and the earth, but you're my friend? And not only are you just like a friend, you're a friend who gives your life for me. Oh, my friends, let that come down into your heart. Let the love of Jesus that paid his life for yours, let that get right down into your soul and let it change you. Let it make you a deeper friend. Look, the only answer to the love of God through Jesus Christ as your friend is like the song says, I want you more than any other. So much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit... That's it. That's the only answer you can give to someone who would love you. Listen, I talked about my wife. She sees the very worst of me. But Jesus sees even worse than that. Jesus knows me better than I know myself. He knows the thoughts, the wickedness, the darkness, the perversion, the ugliness that's in my heart, and yet he still would die for me. There is no greater love. Amen? There is no greater love. In fact, Jesus says that as I close. So flip over a couple of pages to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And in verse 13, Jesus says it this way. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. That's it, right? And you know why Jesus can say this? It's because Jesus did this. He laid down his life for Lazarus, knowing that by raising Lazarus up, that will cost him his whole life. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. How? How did he do it? Now I want you to go back. Excuse me, you're going back and forth. Let's go back, Chris. Back to John chapter 11, to the end of John chapter 11. Caiaphas, the high priest, in verse 49, right? And then in verse 51. See, Caiaphas said, okay, this man needs to die. That's what Caiaphas is saying for political reasons. It's politics. It's Caiaphas. One day I'm going to preach this properly, okay, and give you the whole thing, but I just need to keep moving. So forgive me if you have some questions about this. I'll be happy to answer them afterwards if you do. But verse 52, not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. Oh, excuse me, go back to verse 50. You do not realize it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. So Caiaphas, by the Spirit of God, the enemy of God, by his Spirit, is God is using his enemies to prophesy. It's crazy. So what he's saying is this, substitution, deity, kawarini. Jesus has to die in the place of the Jewish nation. Ironic, because the Jewish nation eventually dies about 40 years later. Rome comes to Jerusalem the year AD 70, kills a lot of Jews, destroys the temple. So it happened anyway. But Caiaphas is thinking, some political sense, politically, Jesus must die so that the Jewish people are saved. And John says, there's a bigger picture. Not just Caiaphas, God is saying, Jesus, the Son of God, must die, not to save the Jewish people, to save all the people. Not from Rome, but from sin. Not from destruction politically, but from destruction eternally, from death, from the wrath of God. Jesus would take the punishment of God so that all who would believe in Jesus would receive the blessing of God, salvation. There's one story I wanted to share with you. I've always wanted to share it ever since I saw this movie. Are you familiar with the movie The Good Lie? Reese Witherspoon, about 2012. No, it's not. It wasn't a big movie, so let me spoil it for you. So here's what happens. There's some children, about 10 to 13, 14 years old. They're in Sudan, South Sudan in Africa. There's a civil war in the 90s in Africa. And people are getting killed, families are destroyed. And these five children. The eldest brother, his name is Theo. And his village has been murdered. The children are left. They're running away from the rebels, okay? The rebel army. They're running away. They're in the wilderness of Sudan. One night, they go to sleep in the high grass. And in the morning, Theo, the eldest brother, wakes up and he sees the rebels with guns and machetes. And he knows that if those rebels catch him and his brothers and sister, they're all dead. Or they'll be recruited into the army. There's nothing left. So Theo, while his brothers are sleeping, stands up and shows himself to the gunmen. And they say, "Are you by yourself?" And Theo gives a good lie. He tells a lie. "Yes, I'm by myself." And so the gunmen take Theo away. And at the cost of Theo's life, his brothers and sister were saved. But that's not where the story ends. So the next one in line is a boy named Mamre. And Mamre sees what his brother did. And now he has to take the lead. And so Mamre and his three other brothers and his sister, they walk and walk. They get to Kenya. They reach a refugee camp in Kenya where they're now safe. And in the refugee camp, they're allowed to apply to be sent to other countries as refugees of war. And so where do they go? Ironically, they enter the United States as refugees of war, as children. So they end up in Kansas. However, the sister, Abital, she ends up in Boston. And, you know, they grow up, they get an education. One brother becomes a kind of carpenter. And another brother becomes, he works in a supermarket. Another brother actually works in a church. Then Mamre, he ends up taking two jobs, and he wants to become a doctor. So he's working and studying, and he's working his way through medical school. Well, one day, they get a letter from their sister, Abital, who is in Boston. And she is able to come and rejoin them in Kansas. And so there's a big, tearful reunion, and everybody's happy. You know, the four of them are together. And then Abital says to Mamre, she says, "I got a letter from Kenya. And it says, from Theo. It's possible that our brother Theo could be alive." So Mamre, he flies to Kenya. He goes to the refugee camp, looks for his brother. Amazing story. He finds Theo and this big reunion, they're crying and everything. So now Mamre and Theo have to go back to Kansas. But Theo has no paperwork. He has no documents. So Mamre is going around to the embassies, and he's trying to, you know, make deals, and he's saying, "Theo, I need to get you to get your paperwork. Just stay here, wait for me. And when I come back, your paperwork will be ready. We'll go to America." So he's gone for a week. He's going back and forth. Finally, he comes back to Theo at the refugee camp. He says, "Okay, we're ready. Let's go." So they go to the airport. They're waiting in line to enter. They get to the place, immigration, where they give the passports. And Mamre turns to his brother Theo. And he says, "Okay, this is where I have to let you go. And when you see Abital and Jeremiah and your brothers, give them a hug and tell them I love them. I'll contact them when I can." And Theo says, "What are you talking about?" Mamre says, "Look, Theo, I couldn't get your paperwork. I couldn't get your documents. And only one of us can go to America. So I'm going to give you my passport, okay? And you tell them that you're me, and I'm you. We have the same face. We're brothers." And so the movie ends with Theo, the elder brother, getting on the plane, flying to Kansas. And in Theo's place, Mamre has stayed behind in Kenya, taking his place. And Theo gets the benefit that Mamre has. That was the good lie. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth. And because he is the truth, he was able to give us what we do not deserve. We are the Theo. We don't deserve the good life. But Jesus' good life was given to us so that our bad life could be given to Jesus. And what Jesus took for our place, we can get in his place. That is the greatest love of all. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." That's what he says. I beg of you, if you don't know that love, come and get it. If you haven't given yourself to that love, come and give it. Jesus waits with open arms. And just like Lazarus, he says, come out, be born again, live. So he's calling you. I hope you hear his voice. Listen, this gospel, this good news is not just for non-Christians. Christians need the gospel as much as non-Christians do. You need to let the love of God get from your head down to your heart. That will transform you. That will change you. That will give you victory. That will heal your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me and for loving me. Shall you pray? Let's pray. So, Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in humility before you. We offer ourselves, Lord. We remember Lazarus, the story. We remember your friendship with him. And we thank you for your friendship. We thank you that you have not only made Lazarus your friend, but you have made us your friend. That through your death, these strangers can become friends. Through your death, these orphans can become adopted children of God. So, Father, we come once again receiving the love of Jesus into our hearts. And we come, Lord, giving whatever love we can give back to honor, to worship, and to glorify your name. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.